in John chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 66. And he said, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm sorry, I went back a verse. One verse forward, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? He said, all these others have left. Are you going to go away too? And Simon Peter answered him. This was Simon Peter with temper problems, a short fuse, and had to get rebuked. But he had the right answer when he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, where else are we going to go? I don't know where these others are going, but I know where I'm staying. You've got the words. And I want to talk to us for a few minutes about the real thing. The real thing. Let's lift our hands and pray one more time. God, I thank you for your presence in this house. Lord, for helping us today already, for lifting us up today already. And I pray that you would, Lord, just energize our minds, energize our bodies, Lord, to hear your word today. Lord, to receive what you have for us in the remainder of this service. We're here for this purpose today, to hear from you. And we love you and we thank you. Give God a hand clap of praise as you're seated. In Jesus' name, amen. Where else are we going to go? Everyone else had left. Everyone else had stopped following Jesus. Became too much for them. For whatever reason, they said, this is as far as I go. It says they left him. Everyone else decided, you know, I just don't think this is really for me. I had a good little run. Followed Jesus for a little bit. It's awesome stuff. But this is getting a little bit too involved for me now. I think it's maybe just time to quit and go back to what I was doing. And Jesus turned to his disciples again and asked, are you going to go away? Like I said, Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We know that you're the Christ. We know that you're the Son of God. In other words, he was saying, we know you're the real thing. This, what else can we go to? This is as real as it gets. This is the real thing. And Peter knew that he had found the real thing. Or rather, really the real thing had found him. And he decided to follow. Peter knew what he had a hold of. And he had no doubt about the revelation that he had, that you are the Christ. You're it for me. And he wasn't about to leave Jesus. And I wish that we could get that mindset today. That, Lord, where else am I going to go if I'm not with you? Lord, what other lifestyle can I really go back to? I have found the real thing. I have found the Savior. Or the Savior, again, rather, has found me. But I'm going to latch on. I'm going to hold on. Because I know that no matter the ups and downs, even if I'm in the valley and I'm going through trials, I know that my worst day in the house of God is better than anything I could call my best day outside the house of God. Because outside, I'm still going to have trials. Outside, I'm still going to have tests. But then I have no hope outside. But in here, When I'm in Christ, I know that I'm a new creature. I know that old things are passed away and all things are become new. Where else am I going to go? If we could say, I don't care. I don't care who else goes. I want to take as many as I can with me. I want to hold on to others as much as I can and help others as much as I can. But when it comes down to it, I am still going to be here, Jesus. I'm still going to follow you, Jesus. It doesn't matter if they decide to throw it all away. It doesn't matter if they decide to give up. I'll help them how I can, but Lord, I'm going to hang in here. I will not, cannot go back. I cannot go back. I've got the real thing and I can't turn back now. Does anybody feel like that today, that you're thankful I found the real thing? Sometimes I think we ought to just remember where we were, and we might not be so eager to turn around and go back there. You know, everybody, it's probably been a while. I remember teaching this in youth class using these examples, but everybody wants the real thing. Now, there are some people that are like super weirdos, and they like whales instead of goldfish. I know them, and I pray for them. Something very, very wrong. But for the most part today, people want the real thing. Now, I'm just talking about in the natural. We want Dr. Pepper, not Dr. Thunder. We want Cheez-Its, not cheese nips. Hot and spicy, extra toasty, cheddar, whatever. I just want Cheez-Its. I don't want cheese nips. I don't even know if they make cheese nips anymore. You might be able to find them at like Aldi or something. I remember a time I was in high school and I have a wonderful mama, and she would have stuff. She knows what I liked, and after school, I knew there's gonna be something being made for me at home, an after school snack. But I remember one time in high school, I thought I was about to enjoy some delicious bagel bites. How many people like bagel bites? I like pizza rolls, but man, bagel bites are on a different level. And I thought I was about to enjoy some delicious bagel bites. And after suffering through a few of them, I found out that I had been eating a knockoff brand that Mom had bought from Earth Fair called Pizza Bagels. The false prophet of pizza snacks. They should have been called goat cheese dirt circles. Horrible. I thought, this is the husk that the swine doth eat. Awful. And I love my mom. She's never let me down, but I was a little hurt. She tried to pull one over on me there and make me eat a little healthier, but I knew, amen, I had discernment. And, you know, when I was in high school, you wanted, now this really just don't matter to me anymore, and really these things are not even relevant anymore, but when I was in high school, it had to be Hollister. It had to be American Eagle. If you were running a little low on cash, Aeropostale. and Toms were a big thing. Those were the most comfortable shoes I've ever owned. I guess they're still around. I don't know. But then Walmart started selling Bobs. You wanted Vans. You didn't want Airwalks. You was breaking your legs trying to skateboard with Airwalks on. People want the real thing. They want Apple products. We're Apple-stolic people. You don't want to be the green one in the group text, giving everybody a headache. So-and-so liked this message. So-and-so loved this message. JT's over there with his Microsoft Windows phone. It takes better pictures. I'm just teasing. But everybody, even outside of those things, everybody wants real friendship. Everybody wants meaningful connections. Everybody wants to find true love, real happiness. But so many times we settle for a knockoff because it's easier to get. Or because the real thing, if somebody tries to sell you a Louis Vuitton on the sidewalk, it's not real. If you think you found the deal of a lifetime, it's going to be cracking and flaking off in a couple weeks. But everybody, they sometimes we settle for a knockoff because it's more available. It's easier to get, or because the real thing is just out of reach. Sometimes the real thing's too expensive. So many times in life we settle, and people stop looking for the real thing. This world really does yearn for something real. And people sometimes they can get so numb and close themselves off so much that they forget that. But there is a yearning inside of every person for something real. And there is an empty space in each person that cannot be filled by anything except for Jesus. And I don't know how else to say it, but Jesus is the only one that can feel that emptiness that you feel. That yearning for something that you feel, that is a Jesus-shaped hole in your life that only he can fill that space. He's the real thing. And let me tell you that he's not out of reach. Let me tell you that he's not too expensive. In fact, he's already covered and paid for any debt that you owe. Let me tell you that Jesus is the real thing. In this world, it offers a lot of knockoffs, but Jesus is for real. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no life outside of him. There is nothing that can take his place. He is the greatest thing that you could ever find. It doesn't matter what kind of love song that you love so much. Nobody has ever loved you as much as Jesus has loved you. Nobody has ever given you more than Jesus has given you. Nobody's ever cared about you more than Jesus cares about you. If you're looking for the real thing, he's saying taste and see. And he's available. We can experience him. I've used this example before that a lot of times we sing about things that we've never experienced, or people do sometimes. People can sit in church for a long time and sing about things they've never experienced. I use this example around Christmas, but one of the best Christmas songs starts off, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. How many people have ever had a chestnut? I can't even tell. Well, of course, Brian and Patty have. They've done everything. I just don't. If you know, I get like honey roasted peanuts from the gas station, but I just can't say that at the very least, I cannot say that I have ever roasted chestnuts over an open fire. Never done that. Okay, there's something. We sing about things we've never done. There are 10-year-olds with no business having an Instagram that post things of them singing, I dug my key into the side, is pretty little souped up for, stuff like that. I'm like, you're 10 years old. You can't drive. You can't date. You've never been cheated on? Singing about things they've never experienced. I'm talking about literal 10-year-olds. It's surprising the things that you see on social media. I'm talking about literal 10-year-olds. In case anybody thinks anyway, I don't want to stand in church and sing about things that I've never experienced. I don't want to just sing that he's my Savior, but I haven't experienced that salvation. I don't want to sing I've been baptized in Jesus' name, but I won't get in the water. I don't want to sing I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but I haven't received the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, hey, the promise is unto you, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about just being satisfied with, I'll sing about it, but I never experience it. But there's a real thing that's available to you in this house today. Again, Psalm 38:4 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Tonight, or today, rather, you might be at a decision point. You might feel worn out and wore down and used up, and the world hasn't satisfied you, and the things that you've been trying just don't satisfy you. You've tried it all and still feel empty. Maybe you've been coming to church. But let me tell you that it's not just a matter of church attendance. It's a matter of surrender to God. And what you've been needing is here in this room. I'm telling you that something real, really life-changing, really satisfying, really freeing is in this place for you, available for free today. It's a gift. Receive it. I'm telling you, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've just been folding your arms and your pride is way up here, I'm telling you, let go of your pride, let go of your ego, and just, why don't you just test the water and taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you have been holding your nose and swallowing, but it's time to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because you can feel it, you can talk about it, you can look at it, you can hear it, you can even smell it, but none of that is tasting it. I can walk into a restaurant and I can smell the food. I can see other people eating the food, but if I don't eat it, if I don't taste it, I walk out hungry. I can look at a box of cereal, and this is a weird fact about me. I love cereal box art. I just feel like those characters are my friend. Tony the Tiger, the Trix Rabbit. I really hate that they took the little psychotic animal thing off the Honeycombs box. I miss him. Captain Crunch, that's my boy, Captain Crunch. I can look at it all day long, though, but if I don't open it up and pour it in the bowl and eat it, it does me no good. I know I'm using these kind of silly illustrations, but we can apply this to our walk, that I can be around it. I can smell it, I can see it, I can hear it, but if I don't taste and see, I'm trying to urge somebody today, you need to just go ahead and step out on the water and see if you don't walk. You need to just go ahead and taste and see and surrender. Just surrender. We don't like to do that. I don't like to surrender control. We're control freaks. But just go ahead and surrender to the Lord. Just go ahead and see if he's not everything and more that you've ever needed and wanted. I'm trying to tell you that it's Jesus and Jesus only, and that there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. I tell you, this world, the enemy of your soul, there are things that they'll try and sell you a knockoff. Don't buy it. Don't listen to anything or anyone trying to persuade you to buy a knockoff. It's like in Galatians 5:8 when he said, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." It's not the real thing. The enemy wants to sell you knock off religion, knock off happiness, knock off love, knock off truth. But Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Once you get a hold of it, you're not going to want to let go of it. Buy the truth and sell it not. This world's got nothing to offer, church. Only temporary pleasure, only temporary sin, but the wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Don't settle for a knockoff. The real thing is available to you. I have tasted and I have seen that Jesus is the real thing. And I don't want nothing else, and I don't want nobody else but Jesus. I've tried other stuff. I've tried other lifestyles, and it just don't work. Jesus is the real thing. And you can try and fill that hole. You can try and fill it with relationships. You can try and fill it with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with hobbies until they start to try and take the place of Jesus. You can try and fill it with entertainment, TV and movies and whatever your outlet is. Make no mistake that it's a very real situation. And I said this last time I preached, that there are two worlds fighting for you. There are two worlds pulling at either side of you. One's the real thing. One's a knockoff. Don't buy the knockoff. And listen, I'll tell you, I know what it's like to be distracted. I know what it's like to be lost. And many of you have heard me testify before, but just because I came up under godly parents, there was a time in my life that I knew I was lost because I was making stupid decisions, awful decisions, not living right, what you might call a pew prodigal. That was me. And I know what it's like to want to gain the whole world. I do. I tell you, it had me bound by the illusion of happiness in this world. There was a time that you know, it's like I was turning to things that I never, ever, ever thought that I would ever try or turn to. Things I never thought I would do or be involved in. I know what it's like to be lured toward the things of this world. I know what it's like to be so discouraged and eat up with guilt and fear and depression that you almost feel like throwing in the towel. Even knowing what the real thing was, I was trying the knockoffs. So I'm not talking about something that I don't know about today. You're not looking at somebody who has never made mistakes and never been in horrible, horrible sin. And I'm not talking about, oh, I slipped up and said a cuss word. I'm talking about my life should have been ruined. I'm talking about my life should have been ruined. I should not be standing behind this pulpit telling about the goodness of God today. I'm talking about horrible, dark, impure, unclean decisions that should have ruined my life and taken me out, maybe even taken me out of this world at times and places that I was in. But I'm telling you that when I decided and when I realized about as low as I can get, I know where I need to look. I know what I need to reach for. I know what I need to grab hold of. Why am I in this pig pen? Why am I in this place with all these things that don't satisfy me, that have left me broken, that have left me just shattered and torn apart and unclean and in this low place? I know where I can reach. I know that I can grab hold of my Lord, my Savior, that I know that has kept me. I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Him. I wouldn't be living this life today if it wasn't for the goodness and grace of God. And so I'm telling you something that I know about, that the knockoffs and the world and sin and all these distractions won't satisfy you. And maybe that doesn't resonate with you, but it'll hit home with somebody today, that you've tried everything and you've tried things you never thought you'd try. But I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, just take my hand. I'm here and I'm available and I love you and I can change you and I can cleanse you and I can wash you and I can set you free and I can change your heart and change your mind and pluck your feet out of the net and give you real joy and real peace and real love and real gladness and real comfort. Let me tell you, I've got a hold of the real thing, and I'm not letting go. I refuse to let go. There's nothing and nobody like Jesus. Nothing and nobody like Jesus. And I just give me another couple minutes, if that's all right. I'll tell you that the knockoff will be made to look good. Sin can look good. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, these things the scripture talks about, it can look good and look appetizing. And let me tell you that, yeah, you can have fun in the world. What in the world does fun mean? Who cares? I have fun in the house of God. I have fun with my brothers and sisters in the house of God. I have fun living for God, but don't ever let anybody tell you it's not fun living for God. Anyway, you can have fun in the world and you can have a good time in the world. You can have thrills in the world. High risk. Believe the enemy. You can come to believe that living for God is nothing but a set of rules and a cage to keep you from having fun and keep you from living your best life. I'm telling you, that's a lie. Don't be tricked, don't be deceived, and don't be lied to into buying a knockoff. And listen, let me tell you that the enemy doesn't have to get you hooked on drugs and alcohol to get you to stop attending church. He doesn't. Let me tell you, the enemy don't care if you come to church. Don't care. As long as he can get you to sit quietly on the pew and not sell out to God, who cares? As long as you can stand there and sing about things you'll never experience, who cares? Come to church. But I want the real thing. I want to buy the truth and sell it not. And so my goal today is not to persuade someone to grab a hold or my goal is to persuade someone to grab a hold of Jesus, grab a hold of the real thing, and hold on with everything you've got. I just have such a burden and sense of urgency today for people because there's so much that's coming against us in these last days. I mean, pick your poison. I cannot believe, I thank God that I'm not in high school today. Good Lord. Just let me say specifically to our youth, our young adults, high school, college age, if you consider yourself young, if you are in school, let me just put it like that. Let me just tell you, I cover you in prayers. Because you are on a battlefield like I never experienced. And I experienced some bad stuff. But that's not just the school world. It's everywhere. You've got more than enough mistakes that you can make. But there's only one way, one truth, and one life. And I want to tell you, you can stand with me. Musicians can come. Let me say, maybe you've played around. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody today, but maybe you've played around. You've procrastinated. Maybe you've ran and avoided God for a long time. But you might as well come to terms with it. You've got to have Him. And in the back of your mind, you know, sooner or later, I'm going to have to straighten up. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to grab hold of God. Let me tell you today that it's time to stop running. You say, well, I'm sitting in church. I'm not running. That's like I said a while ago. It don't matter. Sitting on the pew, you can still be running. And I feel this today for someone. Hey, maybe you've been living for God for a long time. You feel like this doesn't really, speak to me, but it's going to speak to somebody. I'm trying to tell you, something real is available to you. And you've been trying the knockoffs for so long. I want to tell you that we still serve a God. And I believe that God heals. And that, healing is a seed that grows. When people are healed, when they're prayed for and later on they say, God healed me, it's because when they were prayed for, God planted a seed of healing, it grew, and they got better. And I believe in that. I've seen it. It's happened to me. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about emotional healing. I'm talking about God doing a work in somebody's life. But I still serve a God that breaks chains in a moment in the altar. I still believe in coming to an altar in the church and laying that old life and that sin and those things, all the things, lay it on the altar. I still believe, I have seen people lay drugs on the altar. I have seen people lay needles on the altar. I've seen people lay packs of cigarettes on the altar. I've seen people that God freed them from depression in the altar. I've seen God free people from addiction in the altar. I'm talking about in one moment. And you might say, oh, well, that don't happen for everybody. Okay, well, God heals sometimes. But I still believe that we can have an altar experience and God can change our life in a moment. I still believe that you can come up to the altar and pray to receive the Holy Ghost and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I still believe you can come to an altar and repent and say, Lord, I'm turning. And you can get in that water. I'll get in there with you. And you can go in that water in Jesus' name and have your sins washed away. It's the real thing. And I can tell you, just drugs won't do it. The bottle won't do it. No hobby will do it. The boy or girl won't do it. Money won't do it. Fame, popularity, status won't do it. It's just Jesus. Joshua 24:15 says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My prayer today is that somebody will make up in their mind, you know what? I'm choosing Jesus. I'm choosing the Lord. I'm so tired of this cycle. I'm so tired of being in and out. I'm so tired of being up and down, committed and then not committed. I'm so tired of this vicious cycle of addiction, depression, these same old things that don't satisfy. I think I'm just going to completely surrender to God. I don't know how else to put it, church. I'm sorry if you wanted something to blow your mind today, but somebody needs to hear this and let go of your pride and say, I'm going to taste and see. When Moses and Aaron's serpent swallowed up the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, they saw the real thing. When Elijah showed up the prophets of Baal, they saw the real thing. When God delivered the three Hebrew boys out of that fiery furnace, that king said, all right, they've got the real thing. The Philistines saw the real thing when Goliath hit the ground. When Jesus took his last breath for 3 days and the earth shook, the centurion And the ones with him, they looked at him and said, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was the real thing. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the real thing. But I'd rather proclaim it and live it now than have to confess it with shame later. It's time to sell out to Jesus. And so as the musicians play today, I am giving you an invitation. Because I can't force you and I can't make you do anything. And I wouldn't want to. But I am extending an invitation to these altars today. Maybe you never come to the altar. I'm inviting you. Come and hit your knees in this altar. And don't worry about anybody else around you. But have a moment with God. Have a moment with Jesus. Lay all that junk on the altar and grab hold of the real thing today. So I'm inviting you to come if you will. You can make your way to these altars now if you feel. But I'm just asking you to come. Maybe you just want to reaffirm your beliefs today. Maybe you just want to reaffirm your commitment today. That's fine. But somebody for the first time today needs to go ahead and say, you know what? I've danced around it. I've toyed with it in my mind. I've went back and forth, but I think I'm going to let go today. I think I'm going to give myself to it completely today. I think I'm going to try, taste, and see that the Lord is good. God can do a real work in this place today. So let's pray, church.